Back here on the game, John Kurtz, Tyler Dreiling, and Mitch Fortner. Phil Steele joins the show at 5:10 to talk some Big 12 football. We did ask him why it seems flipped that he had the offense rated so lowly relative to the conference and the defense rated so highly relative to the conference. That seemed backwards to us as far as what we think the strengths of the team will be. You heard that conversation yesterday. We made sure to get that question out there to Phil Steele. We'll go two segments with him because we got so much information from him, as we always do. Before we get to Kevin Durant here in just a moment, I will go ahead and say another comparison between Oklahoma State's run right now and late 90s, early 2000s K-State. Mitch actually brought this up to me, but how similar is the way that each team blew arguably their greatest chance at a national championship? 1998 K-State, the excruciating double overtime loss to Texas A&M. Oklahoma State, Iowa State, that Thursday night game in Ames. Didn't that go to overtime as well?
Yeah.
Wasn't that an OT game?
I believe it was double overtime.
There we go.
Sir Parker wasn't on that Iowa State team. K-State lost to a way better team. But, yes, I see what you're saying.
That is true. But then they just finish, like, percentage points away from being number two in the BCS standings that year, all the way back in 2011. Feels weird to still say that, the BCS standings. But there was some of the same there with K-State. I remember somebody bailed out at the last minute on that non-conference schedule, which obviously was cupcakey as they get. And if K-State had played the other team, like Western Michigan or something, as opposed to Northeast Louisiana, someone ran the numbers, and it was possible K-State would have still been number two in the BCS even after losing to Texas A&M. Whatever. I got to stop going down that road before I get a little too carried away. But I'm telling you, man, there are so many similarities between Gundy and Snyder and the run that Oklahoma State has been on. They didn't start from as low as the K-State program did. I understand that. I'm not saying his turnaround job is as remarkable as Bill Snyder, but it's certainly at least in the ballpark. Okay, we have avoided talking about the NBA Finals too much, but they are over after the Warriors win last night. Fairly entertaining game. And immediately after the game, as soon as it's over, Kevin Durant has been the story pretty much of this series. There's so much debate about his move to go join the Warriors. Can't beat him, join him, and go on to win a title this year. And, of course, Nike was ready with a commercial right after the game. And, well, it was very well done. It was cool. I will admit that it was entertaining to watch. I still thought the way that it ended was just a little bit, I don't, insulting to my intelligence somewhat, the way that they
really
frame all this. Yeah, here's the last part of it. It's basically a whole reel of doubters from Kevin Durant's whole career, and it culminates at the end with him winning the championship.
Warriors.
Oh, you got to be kidding me.
Traitor.
We
gravy train.
That was the weakest move ever.
That's what you call loyalty?
Durant out for 6 weeks.
Cry, baby.
The finals begin tonight.
Durant's playing at a whole other level.
And it's over. KD has his first NBA championship. It's in the...
And at that point there at the end, it says, debate this. Giant bold letters on the screen. Well, guess what? People are going to debate it. That's my problem with it. It is somewhat insulting to your intelligence to insinuate there at the end of that ad that because Kevin Durant won a championship here, he's validated and nobody can debate anything anymore. The second that he went to Golden State, everybody knew he was going to win the title. So winning the title has done nothing to change any of this debate. In fact, if anything, it has just thrown gasoline onto the fire that is this raging inferno of a debate about whether or not Kevin Durant should have gone and joined the Golden State Warriors.
But it's still a dumb debate. It's still the very foundation of it still doesn't make any sense to me. I understand if Oklahoma City Thunder fans are upset about it. You know, it was in some ways a betrayal from their standpoint. But all of these other people, especially the LeBron sympathizers that are saying that it tarnishes his legacy and everything like that. I mean, come on. You're really the basis of your argument is his teammates are too good at basketball. He's on too good of a team. What do you expect? Like, he's going to want to be on the best possible team that he can be on. He doesn't want to win a title once with a team that could probably never do it again. Maybe he wants to be part of the dynasty. That's his choice. You know, that I don't have any problem with that. So I just think that that part of it is weird and has been talked about way too much.
Well, I think the worst part of the debate is that it just continues and continues and continues, and it's this endless loop that's never going to stop. I really feel for a lot of the national sports talk guys that are going to just have to continue to entertain this because it's what people want to talk about. I think it just requires some nuance. It's another one of those debates, like anything in society today, that it has to be totally black or white. Either Kevin Durant's an idiot, he's soft, he should have never done that, or Kevin Durant is the greatest, more along your stance, you guys are all idiots. Look, how about this? You can be frustrated and disappointed that Kevin Durant chose to go play for the Golden State Warriors. I am fine with that, because if you're a fan of any of the other NBA teams other than the Golden State Warriors, yeah, this makes things more boring. It makes it feel like, especially if you're a fan of a team, like you've got no shot. You go into the year knowing you essentially have no shot at winning at all. That does ruin some of the fun of a season. And even just as a casual fan, if you don't have a team, you don't have a dog, it does, in a lot of ways, make it less interesting that the Warriors are just going to rip through the playoffs, only lose one game. And you know that the Cavs, even with LeBron, the best player on the planet right now, they've got no shot to win the whole thing. But at the same time, you can be disappointed and frustrated with his decision and still not criticize him, not go over the top and say that he's soft, say that, you know, he is just giving up on everything by going and joining the Golden State Warriors. I think there's a difference there. There's a difference between being disappointed in his decision and then going out there and criticizing him and calling him an idiot for this decision and saying that it tarnishes his legacy somehow here. Because the fact of the matter is, this is about the only arena where anybody would legitimately criticize somebody in their area of work, their occupation, for striving to go work with the best and work at the place where you have the most resources at your disposal. I mean, that's the whole idea when you're trying to climb the ladder in whatever your career is. You want to get to a point where you have more resources to be able to do bigger and better things. That is what Kevin Durant has done here. I don't think anybody would criticize any of us if tomorrow we said, hey, got a job at ESPN, going to ESPN. No one is going to say, man, you're a traitor. You should have just stayed and worked in Manhattan this whole time. And instead of going to ESPN where there's more resources, a bigger platform, you can do more for your career. So while you can, I still say because of the viewing experience, you can be frustrated with it. That's fine. But let's stop short of going and calling Kevin Durant, you know, a hypocrite, soft, whatever it may be, for playing with the Golden State Warriors. That is the way that I would view it.
I mean, he did this at the cost of likely never being regarded as like a top five player in NBA history. Had he stayed in Oklahoma City and done it more by himself, I think that he would have had a chance to be there. Now his ceiling as far as an individual player is probably like top 20 or something like that. But he did that. He chose to go that route in exchange for probably winning four or five championships instead of maybe one or two. And that, again, is his absolute right to do that. If he wants to be a top 20 player of all time and have a fistful of rings instead of one and be a top five player, that's his choice.
Well, the other thing I would say to that is I'm not even sure that it limits it as much as you would make it out to be, his potential to where people are going to view him by the end of his career. I mean, the NBA has been about dynasties and has been about super teams going back to the start. The Lakers and Celtics have 52 titles all time combined between them. The most popular era of the NBA in my lifetime was the Jordan era. Michael Jordan won 6 titles in 8 years, and the 2 years they didn't win were when he went to play baseball. I don't think anybody was saying that's a big problem and it hurts Michael Jordan's legacy because he's winning all the time and he's playing with Scottie Pippen. We're turning into an era where the super team is becoming more and more prevalent, but I think by the end of it, you're going to look back and say that was the trend in basketball. And you'll remember more if he wins 4, 5, 6 titles, whatever. You'll remember it more without remembering quite all the details and of how much people criticized him here. It'll matter less as time goes on when you're talking about a legacy. And clearly, as I just outlined there with the Jordan era example, the Lakers with Shaq and Kobe, like that is not going to hurt the popularity of the NBA. One, you have a villain. People are still going to watch. It's still going to be very popular to root against Kevin Durant, the Warriors, whatever you want it to be. And then there will be those just to tune in to watch greatness. I mean, the NBA is as popular as I can remember since the Jordan era in my lifetime right now. It somewhat rivals that. I don't think it's going away just because Durant is on the Warriors here.
It's just hypocritical from the LeBron fans to have a big problem with this because they put together a team with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love and Deron Williams, who's I know Deron Williams' game is aged like milk, but that was supposed to be a super team. It just so happened that their super team wasn't as good as the Warriors' super team, and that's not something that you can hate Kevin Durant for.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I'll accept some of that. Let's take Deron Williams out of whatever that point was you just made, and let's throw him to Topeka.
Do you know how good he was?
Out of here. Yeah. Have you watched Deron Williams on a bat? I mean, I don't know anything about the NBA, but I know that Deron Williams is washed, and he did not score a single point in the first three games of that series.
I just said that his game aged like milk.
Right, which you stole from Twitter. And two,
no.
Let's go ahead and...
No.
I will prove it to you in the break, and let's go ahead and just take Deron Williams out of the equation here. Deron Williams does not belong in this discussion. He's awful. Now, you want to go Kevin Love, Kyrie Irving, that's fine. But it's how you have to win in the NBA today. And I don't know all that much about the NBA, and I feel even a little like I'm speaking out of turn, being so talking from the mountaintop here on the NBA. But I just don't think it's as big a deal as people make it out to be here in the moment. And I think you just have to separate a couple of different emotions and thoughts and feelings with the Kevin Durant situation, which has clearly been the story here of this finals.
This
doesn't need to be black and white is my point.
Yes, I agree with you there. Yeah. Deron Williams averaged 17 points a game in his career.
Well, look, Gary Payton and Karl Malone went and played for the Lakers for a while. There, no one was calling that a super team because they were old at the end of their careers. Deron Williams does not even resemble something remotely like what he was 3 or 4 years ago. Deron Williams is not a part of a Cavs super team. That's all I'm trying to say. I just don't think it's fair to lump that in and say, well, LeBron had four guys too. Let's be honest. Let's not be Nike. Let's not say debate this. Deron Williams super team. I've had enough of the Nike ad trying to make me feel stupid. Phil Steele on at 5:10. We'll go inside the 4 to 4:50 because we're likely not going to have a show tomorrow due to the Royals. But when we come back, Mizzou shooting their shot. You're listening to The Game.